Okay.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Well, you weren't ready.
Don't look at me accusatorily.
I stood out there for like 10 minutes.
Well, let yourself in, I'm Josh. Not,
what happens if I, one time, the one time I come in and you're Laura's making sweet, passionate love to your wife and I'm like standing out in the back porch going, hey, guys.
No, I'll say, make him watch. Did you ever see those outtakes from Eastbound and Down with Will Ferrell? The boy came into the bedroom and I said, no, let him watch. It's the only way he's going to learn. It's how my father taught me.
That's so disturbing.
I
don't think Sam's
don't have
even
Sam on.
We're not used to it.
I feel it in my plums.
In my plums. Nice and juicy. Ready for market. Hey, Sam Farmer's here, everybody.
Yeah. Let's start the theme. Let's do it. Let's kick the show off.
Josh is here.
Finally,
I'm Andy.
He's tuning.
Larry's on assignment.
When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast where your artificial friends.
Somebody asked what key that was in.
I don't know. The first time that guitar's been tuned in a year.
I'm sort of like a human tuner because I notice when I come, that song suddenly gets on tune.
Oh, yeah.
Or not.
So somebody asked, is it G?
Yeah, it's G.
Okay. Somebody asked on Facebook, and I was like, I don't know. Yeah, I think it's G.
It's G, D, A. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
G.
Whoever asked, it's in G.
That was not a fart, by the way. That's
sure.
That's my vinyl.
Okay.
Just can't replicate it.
Vinyl chair. Hold on a minute. Now, pull my finger.
That wasn't a fart. Don't come in here.
Pull my finger, and I'll show you how this chair squeaks. Welcome, everybody.
Hi, Andy.
Happy Easter weekend.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is Easter. You'll be listening to this on Thursday, so it'll be a few days earlier.
It'll be Easter Thursday.
Easter's in the air. Who gets excited for Easter? Obviously, Josh just shit on it.
I hate Easter.
Is it because of the peeps?
No, I know exactly why.
Why?
All right, I hate pastels. And I always had this weird thing that Easter was always like... First of all, back in Western Pennsylvania, it snows on Halloween and snows on Easter in the same year. So usually that Easter, you're hunting eggs and you're like in a snowmobile outfit and they're in mud and black snow. So it's like, I just always remember not really getting Easter, being like, oh, this, I know we're putting up pictures of spring, but it's still gray at 4 o'clock. You know what I mean? And then I remember the part that finally clicked into me. I was thinking about this last night. Is I go out to my aunt's and I sit down and I'm just like, oh, it's another Easter or whatever. And I look down and there was a bowl of pastel M&Ms. And I was like, you bastards.
You're mocking me.
I was just like, you took something as awesome and American as M&Ms, and now you turn them into pastels. And I remember picking them up and spite eating them, like eating them and being like, yep, these don't even taste as good. Like, I'm convinced pastel M&Ms do not taste good. And then that's when I realized it's the pastels and just the muddy, cruddy Easter's in Western Pennsylvania. I never get Easter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You're angry about it.
I'm not angry. It's just, it's like, and then you know what? There's so many lies on Easter too. you get the Easter bunny, right? And then you're like, oh my God, it's going to be amazing. And then you bite into its ear and it's just a big hollow lie. And you're like, you pricks. And it's also waxy chocolate. And you're like, son of a bitch.
I thought you meant Judeo-Christian lies.
You know, my little nephew, he's a big nephew now, but when he was a little kid, Sammy, his name is, he left a tooth under his pillow, but didn't tell his parents. Got up the next morning, the tooth was still there, and he's the eldest of three boys. And so he came to his mom and said, are you the tooth fairy? And she said, well, you can't tell your brothers, but yes. And he said, Easter Bunny? She said, yes. And he said, the big one, he said, are you Santa Claus? And she said, yes. And he said, are you God?
And she said yes. Go make your bed. I don't ever remember. Did you guys ever have any of those conversations with your parents?
Yes.
You did?
I remember the moment when...
I guess we should tell anybody listening with children that they should probably turn this off.
Stop listening to this now. Cut it off. But yeah, I remember the moment. I don't remember what led up to it, what question I asked or what, but I remember my mom, caving in and saying, did you have a hunch that maybe we were, the Easter Bunny and Santa? And I'm like, oh yeah, totally playing it off cool. Right. Yeah. I go in the other room and my world is crushed.
you're just staring out a window thinking.
But I'm playing up. I'm good. I remember that day distinctly. But my sister tells an interesting story, a great story about when they were out at the bus stop, and waiting for the school bus to come by, and my nephew was. 7 or 8, eight-ish, maybe even, a little older, and still believed in Santa. And one of the other boys there at the bus stop ruined it, said, your parents are Santa. and there is no Santa Claus, was saying all that stuff. And, she was looking over, kind of glancing to see if he had seen it, and she looked away as... she could feel him looking up at her, for affirmation. Is that true?
Right.
And she didn't say anything about it. And he, the bus came then, and he got on the bus and went to school and came home that afternoon. When he got home, she could tell that he had something on his mind still, that he was fixated on that all day long. And she was ready for it when he came around. And he said, "Mom, did you hear what Jimmy said at the bus stop?" She goes, "Yeah, and you know what that means." He's like, "What?" "Well, apparently Santa hasn't been coming to Jimmy's house the last couple of years." And I think we know what that means. He's on the bad list. He's on the naughty list. He's like, oh. It's like, so, we should make a point of not talking about it around him again so that we don't, make him feel bad because apparently Santa's skipping his house now. Like, that's genius.
Or
that's
speaking to Jimmy, for that matter.
I never, verbally discussed it with my parents. I just remember one year just seeing a big bag of my presents and being like, "Well, shit, that answers that question." I'm like, okay, yeah. I guess I'm getting Legos for Christmas this year.
Well, I remember one Christmas when I was like 3 or something, 4 maybe, and a knock at the front door while we're opening presents, and we go and we open the
Christmas morning or
Christmas Eve, late at night after midnight. That's when we did it. We go to midnight mass on Saturday night, or on Christmas Eve night rather, and then we come back, and 1 a.m. is when we'd open presents.
That's crazy.
We didn't wait. Anyway, there was a knock at the door in the middle of the night as we're in there doing that. So we go and we open the door, and as we get to the door, I thought I saw a foot going around the corner of the house. Around up the driveway, but I didn't pay attention to that. I'm like, oh, look at this huge present here, and it was presents for my brother and me. And then, as I was parlaying things back into their proper place, when that day when, the sky fell, I remembered that one detail. I'm like, oh, that's why Mom wasn't in the living room with us. I understand.
I remember being on a ski trip with the family, and we'd rented a chalet, a house in Lake Tahoe, and I was probably 6 years old. And one of my older brothers, took my cousin and me out for a walk, and we were walking around, and he said, and basically had the birds and bees talk with us. But, preface that with, "Don't tell Mom and Dad, don't tell, we promise, don't, I promise I won't ask anything, won't say anything about this, but, this is what happens, and I know it sounds, this is how babies are made, blah, blah, blah." So we get back to the house. I kick open the door. Mom! Tom says that after swearing up and down, I wouldn't utter a word.
I remember my poor mom. She would always try, like, just she would go 1 year too far for everything. Like, she'd still be buying us, like, toys when we wanted video games. You know what I mean? She always just kind of wanted us. She'd always go that one extra year. And the last year, she got us Easter baskets. I remember.
He was 27.
I remember my brother had been, I'm probably home from college. And I remember, he might have been like 19. And he was on the couch hungover. And I remember coming downstairs, and I think I might have been hungover too. And we were just like sitting there. We put on Sports Center. You know, we're just like two, you know, teenagers, like sitting there. And my mom's like, "Where's your Easter baskets?" Oh, yeah. And my brother goes, "I'll let the dog find them." So she gets all mad. She's like, "Fine." So she brings out these, she like literally hot, like hid them behind the TV and stuff. She brings them out. I feel bad for her. We tortured this lady. And she brings these out and gives us these Easter baskets. And we both are sitting there looking at them. And on the top of each Easter basket is like, she got us flannel vests. And I hold mine up, and I'm just looking at it, and I look over at my brother's. Mine's green and blue, and his is like red and blue. And he holds his up, and we both look at each other and start laughing hysterically. And she's like, "You guys are gonna look so good in these." My brother's like, "Did you keep the receipt?" She's like, "I'm never getting you guys another basket again."
Oh my
but she
God.
Got it, and, we just, I couldn't believe it. It's like, I'm wearing a Budweiser t-shirt. I'm like, "You want me to put on this New Kids on the Block best?" What are you doing? Yeah, that was great.
I just had a flash memory of we lived in Colorado. We lived in Boulder, and my dad, on a very special Christmas, it must have been an anniversary or something.
But how old were you?
I was probably seventh or eighth grade.
Okay.
And my dad got my mom a trip to Hawaii. Okay. They had never gone to Hawaii together, and going from the cold of Boulder to Hawaii. And
sure.
I remember driving Christmas Eve, driving to the, you know, the Christmas Eve service, church service, and being in the station wagon. I remember saying, "I know what Dad got you for Christmas," to my mom. And you could see, you know, my dad's hands tightened on the steering wheel.
And everybody knuckles says, whitening.
Yeah, everybody says, "Sam, don't say anything." I said, "I'm not going to say anything. Aloha." I thought I was being very cryptic. I'm sure everybody was just pissed. I just blew the lid off the thing.
Investigative reporter. Yeah. Love it.
Oh, that's funny.
So you don't get into, for Owen, you don't get into to get Easter in for him? You hide the eggs and stuff?
Yeah, I'll do that, but I mean, he's into it. So if he's into it, I'll be into it. But I mean, for me, when I was never into it at all, I hated it, those Easter egg hunts. And
all my kids still want to do it. Well, we just moved it from the front yard to the backyard.
Yeah, they're
a little ashamed, but they want to go for the whole Easter egg hunt and everything.
Well,
there's
probably a little cash in some of the Easter eggs now, isn't
there? There's still candy.
Some quarters.
Still,
well, there's like a viral Facebook video of a mother of, you know, like a grandmother with adult children, and she went out and bought like an 18 pack of craft beers and sprinkled them all through her backyard and sent her three like 30-year-old kids out. And they're literally sprinting around like elbowing each other. When they see one, it's like they're knocking each other down to try to grab a beer.
That's great. So that's in the Easter spirit,
yeah,
too.
So. Yeah. Sure. Totally. Yeah. Well,
what about you? Are you doing anything?
Yeah, after this, I'm going to kick you guys out of here, and then the kids and Laura and I are going to dye some eggs.
Nice. Wait, I didn't bring that up. I wanted to see if he wanted to. I was just like, it's kind of a pain in the ass.
What did he say?
I was going to wait to see if he'd bring it up. He didn't bring it up, so I'm like,
so you're not going to do it?
No.
You are just a humbug.
Why? It's just, Jesus. What do? You just, okay, cool. I'm going to make some, this is, I'm basically coloring eggs so I can make freaking egg salad tomorrow because that's all it's going to do.
Egg salad's great.
I know, but I don't need to color the eggs to do it. Plus, I don't want that. There's always those weird, it always gets a little bit of like purple in the egg white, and now I'm making this egg salad and it's like, what's that funky purple chunk in the eggs? Right? No, you don't need to color eggs.
Wow.
Why? What's the point?
Something happened to you.
It's Easter,
on
yeah.
Easter.
Pastels.
Yeah. Pastels. Somewhere along the line.
Like a bull sees red, I see pastel, and I just fill with fury.
We'll have a grand time. The kids love it. They're absolutely down with it. That's the thing, too, is that, you know, with the kids, once one learns, and I don't know if he's shining us on, but I think he's still into it. Silas is, and so, but you know, once he learns, then we'll bring him into the club. You know, the be part of the keepers of the magic, and
you can incorporate him to help hide the
exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah. For that, and for you know Christmas and so forth.
And
so,
your kids crack me up. They're so funny. They're such characters.
They're so much fun, but they're just you know. I was watching. Somebody was talking at this. I was at a party earlier, and they were talking about kids and how they will do horrible things to each other at like the age 3, 2, 3, 4. You know, they'll just whack each other over the head with a cinder block and have no remorse whatsoever. No understanding or remorse. And someone said, you know, I took a criminology course. I was a teacher's assistant for a criminology course. And they were saying that psychologically, at the age of 2 or 3, that is the most similar that we are to sociopaths.
Serial killers.
Yeah, because the children will do things and have no you know, compunction about doing it.
No remorse. No.
A forethought. And then afterwards, no remorse for having done it. really is a horrible age. But apparently it's normal.
Good age to get your kid a pet.
Did you get the... and a lighter. Did you go through terrible twos for either kid? I went through a terrible threes.
Threes are worse.
Excuse me. Yeah,
I'm a little removed from it, but that
I remember the threes just being like getting through the twos and be like, yeah, I might be able to survive this. And all of a sudden, halfway through the threes, nope. I was like, this is insane.
They call them threenagers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's weird. It does seem that the even numbered ages are the good ones. You know, it's like the Star Trek movies. You know, Wrath of Khan,
great.
Good.
As Owen
Search
turns
for
7.
Spock, piece of poo, and then The Voyage Home, pretty good. You know, it's the even numbers. And the same way with the ages, 2 and 4 are pretty darling. I think.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Sam, lovely to have you back with us.
It's great to be.
You've been on an interesting bivouac, going to the Masters for the first time.
Yep. It was incredible.
A couple of observations. One is all these pictures that you posted where they had these amenities for you. You know, you had a booth set up to watch and to write and, you know, with your own TV screens and everything. Everywhere you went, they actually had these brass nameplates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it wasn't like a piece of plastic.
No.
It was like brass.
Yeah.
Like really nice.
Put them on lockers.
Yeah.
Had a locker
yeah.
In the locker room. We had showers. I was laughing because I thought, you know, sports writers don't shower. Why do we have showers in our locker room?
Everybody's standing there looking at it, like touch, like poking it, like, what does this thing do? Yeah, exactly.
Did anybody?
No, I almost did one night.
You should have just said you got it.
Yeah, having a shower at the Masters. But it was incredible. It was literally like a Four Seasons, the media center, which they put up in a year. One of the things about Augusta that's a sort of defining element of Augusta is that nothing stays broken for long. Things get erected or taken down very quickly. The next day at Augusta, all those TV towers are down, all the grandstands are down, all the signage, all the little what look to be permanent stores are down in a day. So it's really remarkable. It's like ants. move in and
those,
work. So.
Those big camera towers that are right around the greens, those aren't up year-round, are they?
No,
those
they just take those down.
And they were down by, like the next day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the next day.
Because those things
look
pretty permanent. They look like steel structures.
Yeah, they were. And they didn't even look like they had temporary bases. They looked like they were
just like spiky
affixed in the ground. So that was a remarkable part of it. Just the food. I mean, the food you had in the media center. We had an entire wall that was called the grab-and-go section. And it's like, imagine a 7-Eleven type refrigerator. And everything they sell on the course at very reasonable prices, you know, $2 for a sandwich or whatever, all those things are available for free in an endless supply of, you know, pimento cheese sandwiches, egg salad sandwiches, chicken club sandwiches, peach ice cream cookies, ice cream sandwiches. I mean, so much food. And then and that was called the grab and go area, which was constantly replenished to the hilt. Then there's a restaurant next to that. And the restaurant was, the food came out in a blink. You had waiters and waitresses, and it was terrific. Of course, you never saw a check, and you're not allowed to tip.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's so nice. In fact, the members, the green jacketed members, a lot of them would come up and eat at the media center. And then I wish I'd brought my credential, because there is a chip in your credential, which will tell them where you are on the course at any moment, when you leave and enter the grounds, and whether you use the wrong entrance or exit to the course. But sort it's almost mystical. But when you sit down for an interview in this beautiful auditorium with these rows of walnut tables in front of you and microphones that come up, when you sit down, your spot is it tracks where you are GPS wise.
Wow.
So the moderator, or you'll be talking to Tiger Woods up on the dais, and there'll be a moderator there who will point to you and say, Sam. And that's because your whole profile has come up in front of him.
That's insane.
And in front of Tiger.
That's
with
ridiculous.
Your name, your affiliation, and your photo.
Did they give you like a walkthrough?
So they call you by a first name throughout.
Did they give you like a walkthrough and show you how all this stuff works? Or is
it's behind the, a peek behind the curtain. Yeah. I mean, they don't want you to know that. How do they know my first name?
Right.
No matter where I sit, is there someone there who knows everybody, who's, you know, but it doesn't look like that guy's wearing an earpiece.
You start feeling good about yourself. Tiger Woods knows
absolutely.
Who I am. Yeah, you know,
and that's the psychology behind it.
Did you run any writers that you knew that were there?
Oh, lots of.
Oh, did you
lots
think
of,
about switching passes with them? Just F the whole system up? Exactly. Everybody throw their pass in the thing and then just grab it and see what happens the rest of the day.
Like it's the ice storm kind of.
Right. Well, I mean, there was one guy, you know, who had a sort of a difficult to pronounce first name, and the moderator said, I think it's Ebenezer or whatever it was. And I thought, wait a second, how do you not know this guy's name and yet have a difficult time pronouncing? I mean,
right.
Like, unless you had his name right in front of you,
right.
All that stuff is occluded by, where you're sitting, and so you don't see these things pop up on the screen.
That's crazy.
So it's really...
That had to cost a fortune for all of that technology.
Yeah. I mean, they have money to burn. There's so much money that club has, and I think from the TV rights of broadcasting the Masters. But so the Masters is the only tournament. Each day, I chose something, because I thought, you know, I want to cover this Masters like I'm never going to cover another Masters. So I'm going to write 7 days of stories that nobody has written or nobody's writing this week, and try to get some really unique stories and try to look at it like, look, I'm not a golf fan, as if I'm not a golf fan, and what would I be interested in? So the first day I got there, I went, this was a Saturday, I went out to Augusta Municipal Course, and I thought, I'm going to see if they field phone calls for people wanting to see the course, if people confuse it for Augusta National. Mm-hmm. So it's this little brown and green goat track next to a private airport where the and so the starter's there, and he's taking calls like, yes, you can buy merchandise here. People want to buy tickets? Well, you don't really need tickets.
Just show up.
Just show up. Can we come over and look at the course? Of course you can. In fact, I can get you on at 8 a.m. on Saturday. And so he said, it's very common. Every day he fields calls, people thinking, and he said, this ain't Magnolia Lane. I mean, stumbled upon this course. So anyway,
I love that he doesn't feel the responsibility to correct people. No, or tell
absolutely
them.
Not. Yeah. No disabusing them.
Yeah,
of the
just roll on up. Tell them I sent you.
Exactly. So I'm there, and it's populated largely by there are a lot of guys who were there who were part of the old caddy system at Augusta National, the black caddies who used to work the Masters. And it used to be the local caddies who would work the tournament. And then in 1983, Tom Watson and other golfers said, we want to start bringing our own caddies. And it basically put the kibosh on that industry for those guys during that week. So it's a very interesting story. But names like one guy's named Tombstone and one guy's named Cigarette. They got these nicknames, and they said, well, you got to meet Tommy. And then sure enough, this guy, Tommy, comes up, Tommy Bennett, 69 years old, still caddies on the web.com tour. Looks like he's got the body of a 35-year-old. He's about 6'3", 150 pounds. And he was Tiger Woods' first caddy in the Masters, the first Masters that Tiger played in 1995. And he talked about how he didn't want Tiger Woods, this kid named Tiger Woods, because he didn't want an amateur. He wanted a professional for a chance to win the thing.
Right.
And then he quickly realized what a big deal it was that he was getting Tiger Woods, because Nike had already identified him.
Right.
He was going to Stanford. It was he was the best young player in the country, etc. And so he talked about Tiger had one sleeve of balls to play his first round of the Masters. And he said, this is Augusta National's caddy. He says, Mr. Woods, you're going to need more than one sleeve of balls, than three balls to play Augusta National. We got a lot of water on this course, and you might lose some balls. Tiger said, that's all I need. And so he said he played one ball on the front nine, one ball on the back nine, and handed me a brand new ball at the end of the round. But he was remarkable, and we were able to get an old shot from 95 of him striding down the fairway with Tiger. And so that was a fun story.
Bet you those guys got the best stories.
Oh, yeah.
The ones you can't talk about.
So some of the other stories that I did that I really had fun with, I found these people who were this older couple in their mid-80s, the Thackers, who the Augusta National had spent $40 million buying up their whole neighborhood to create parking lots for the Masters just off the edge of the course. And they were the lone holdouts who were there to stay. And they had the house surrounded by parking lots.
Oh my gosh.
And their grandson is Scott Brown, is a PGA Tour player who almost won Valero the week before. So he would have played his first Masters and stayed at his grandparents' house.
Right. Wow. The
they still have That's his bedroom. Awesome. I call it the Masters bedroom that he had in his. So that was a fun story. I went out and saw John Daly, who parks his what's that?
Gripping and sipping.
We drank his last
tea. Oh, gripping and sipping?
Yeah.
Yeah, he gave me a can of it. It was horrendous. Yeah. It was so terrible.
He wasn't here when we did it. Me and Larry drank one time. It was terrible.
Oh, it was awful. I could barely gag down a sip in front of him.
It tastes like isopropyl alcohol.
Was he actually on the course, or was he selling stuff out front?
He was at the Hooters. He was parked at the Hooters. he parks his bus at the Hooters. I got him on tape here talking to him. In fact, we can put it up on the website.
That's great. So good. How was he?
He said, oh, he was great. He was okay, and then I bought a shirt, and then he was great. Once I bought a shirt. But he said, I guess I can quote him here. I said, well, what have you signed? He said, well, signed about 20 pairs of boobies.
Pairs of boobies.
And he said, and about 30 asses. And I said, well, I said, John, that's the whole, I'm sure you've seen the whole spectrum of bodies that you've signed. He goes, oh, man. He said, I'm like Jesus, baby. I love them all.
My favorite thing is, I think, I could be wrong, but it was like at one point in time he pulled up in front of like the U.S. Open and parked his vehicle like right beside the entrance to the course, and like put a table out and just started selling John Daly stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yep. No, he did. His new thing is daily, like dilly dilly. Oh, the same. Yeah. Right. So I got my son a t-shirt.
Was he wearing shoes?
Let me think.
Well, there's good odds he's probably not wearing shoes.
He had a perpetual cigarette there dangling.
And that was my other question.
And he was just great. He loved he had a long line of people, and they were inexhaustible.
I would love nothing more than to make fun of Sam. It's one of our most treasured things in our lives to be able to do that. One thing I can't make fun of is your writing, and you had a little excerpt that you put, I think it was just on Facebook, talking about that moment of when Tiger won. Mm-hmm. Did you put that in the story? Did that end up, some of that end up in the Times?
Are you talking about the thing with the table?
Yeah. Well, you were looking at the table where they had been.
Oh, yeah, nothing ran in the paper. Okay. No, it was just
Facebook. If you didn't read this on Facebook, if you're not, don't follow Sam on Facebook, it was just... I can't think of the thing that you do that's magical is you put in details that it's like songwriting where you have a detail put in there that you think wouldn't mean anything, but it means everything. And like, you didn't tell me in what you wrote. You wasn't, you know, the kids were playing with each other with their, you know, dolls or looking at phones or what have you, or, you know, eating ice cream. You said what, after they had left, what was laying on the table, and this and that, and a couple of Jolly Rancher rappers. And you knew who had the Jolly Rancher, you know, that they were interested in things that kids are interested in.
Yeah.
Not the things that the adults were, you know, interested in. Just, you know, as a parent, I'm like, oh my God, that little detail that told me so much about what was going on and how they, you know, hurriedly got up and were trying to find where to go and so forth. But that's a superpower you have.
Oh,
the ability
that's so
to thank you. Find the story that no one else is writing, and not in a forceful way. You know, like sometimes when you interview someone, you know, a musician or whatever, if you have in mind I'm going to ask him this gotcha question or this, I'm going to, you know, start with this gimmick or what, and it comes in and you see they're not in the mood for it and it's not going to happen and you do it anyway, it's death. You've got to read the room and figure out what to... You always find a way, not as a... as an affectation, but just in a real way of finding the story, the unbeaten path, and bringing those stories to life. It's fantastic.
Oh, that's so absolutely nice. Thank you. That's a fun part of it, and I think people like to feel a connection with people. So how am I like Tiger Woods? How am I, you know, I remember...
For me, it's the womanizing. I'm kidding. Yeah.
But things resonate with people it's a recognition feeling. So
would you say that is the most elegant event you've ever, a sporting event you've ever covered?
No,
I mean, you've done Wimbledon too.
He's been
to
Wimbledon.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. He's been to Wimbledon. He's been to the NFL draft. You know, all of the.
But right. I mean, just to me, that just it's, looking at everything you posted, I was like, this literally looks like an awesome vacation at a country.
It
the
is,
most amazing country club in the world.
It is unique, and it is the tradition.
Like no
is
other.
Like no other. No, the tradition and traditions of it really do make it unique. And the fact that no cell phones are allowed out there, and it really changes the dynamic when people are not looking down at their phone. And they all realize... Look, this is something pretty special. for a lot of them, it's going to be a once in a lifetime thing, and they're going to soak it all in, and they're going to talk to the people around them, and so it has a different feel.
How do they enforce that policy? Like, what happens if you broke out your phone, looked at it?
Well, if I did it, I'd have my credentials.
What happens if it's just a paying taken? Somebody that was...
I'm sure there are people, and with especially now with Apple Watches, I saw a lot of Apple Watches out there, but
getting taps on the shoulder and like,
yeah, you don't see people holding up. You absolutely don't see them holding up the phone to take the picture, and or talking on a phone or even texting. So I think there is a feeling like if you break the rules within those hedges, it's going to affect your karma for the rest of your life. And in fact, I did a story on the Masters chairs and how these chairs that they sell for $30, they all look very uniform. There are no arms on the chairs. They're the same color of green. And you set them up at various spots on the course, and they're like church pews, you know. And the people... the understanding is, and the unwritten rule is, you can sit in any chair on the course until that owner comes and says, hey, I want to sit in my chair. So people will leave things like binoculars on their chairs, and you can sit down and use their binoculars. And there are, you know, stories, probably apocryphal, but stories that people have left wallets on their chairs. The only distinguishing characteristic is the business card that slid in the back, and some of the business cards are pretty impressive. You know, there are a lot of CEOs who have their chairs set up.
Fortune 500.
Yeah,
business
you
cards.
You can sit in those chairs. So that's kind of a cool culture, the chair culture. This is the only tournament where no one's allowed inside the ropes. So at a typical tournament, like I'll be going to the PGA Championship next month in New York, Long Island, Bethpage Black, I'll be able to go inside the ropes. So I could more than conceivably, I could easily walk 18 with Tiger Woods. And you can't do that at the Masters. There's too many people. You have to choose. You almost have to hop, skip every other hole.
Leapfrog.
A leapfrog, get ahead, go to the landing area, try to get a shot, place along the rope line to stand, but you can't be inside the ropes, so that makes it different for photographers, everything. But I gotta tell you, this was on Friday, I watched from a great distance, watched him play 16, which is par 3, and then I started walking up 17 up along the side, and I heard this sort of disturbance in the trees above me, and I ducked down because I thought maybe somebody was hitting a drive from a different direction. And three pine cones fell down, hit the ground right near me. And I can't tell you how close this ball came to plunking me. I mean, it was within 15 feet.
So it was a ball.
It was a ball. It starts rolling towards me, and I could read on it, Tiger. And it said Tiger, and it was Tiger, Tiger. And it was sort of working its way back towards me, and we're all backing up. And then a security guard came over and took me out at the ankles. No, they created a pocket, and then Tiger came and hit, and it was really fun.
Oh, wow.
Standing right there as he hit off the pine straw, as they call it, where I could have almost reached out and grabbed his club because I was in that front row.
That would have been cool.
I know, that'd be hilarious. It'd be hilarious. It was the second round.
You're pretty famous now, but everybody would know your name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But how about the guy taking him out at the knees, you know, running across? Did you see that?
I didn't see it.
No.
Oh.
What happened?
Okay, you guys talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to get you this video.
Oh, my God.
You didn't see the guy take out Tiger?
No.
What?
Oh, okay. All right, keep talking.
All right. Well, the funny thing, you mentioned the grab-and-go food, right?
That they kept
replenishing there. Changing gears while you look that up for a second, we had the pledge drive at 88.5 this last 8 days.
Is it still going on? Oh, it's over?
It ended last night, Friday night, at 7 o'clock. But, so I was on for the last 4 hours of it. And the thing was catered the entire thing. Like every day, somebody would bring in food. You know,
this
grill would bring in this pizza place. This, you know, it was just really good food all week long. And the final day yesterday, they brought it. It was the university catered it with their grab and go food. It was like it all said grab and go on the side. And I even made the dad joke of grab and go. What if I want to stay? You know. Just, and no one got it. And they all just looked at me like I was an idiot. Anyway, I'm not saying that the two are related, but I had this the turkey pesto sandwich.
Uh-huh.
And it was a bag of chips and a banana and a cookie in there. And I have the sandwich and some chips at like 1 or, you know, 2 in the afternoon, something like that. Uh-huh. Along about 3 o'clock, it's time for me to go on the air. I start getting a rumbling in my tummy.
You're gonna fucking grab and shit.
I grabbed and goed. After a while, I'm in there with Mimi Chin, right, in the studio, and we're doing the pitching. And we're going great guns. I tell you what, it got really, really.
Did you get a nice sweat gun?
The pledges were really coming in. Like, my goal was 40,
uh-huh.
And I'm like, no, let's make it 50, you know, right off the bat. And I get in there, and it's pretty clear in the first, like, half hour, we get 30 of them. I'm like, well, shit, let's make this, let's say it's 60 is our goal.
Right.
Well, like, 45 minutes after that, we're aiming towards 60. And I'm like, fuck it, let's do 80. 80, we can do 80, 20 calls an hour, which you never, you know, get that much. And I see we're blowing past that. We ended up with 125 calls.
Wow.
So it was so busy.
And a ruined pair of pants.
It was so busy. and just to have the time to print out the thank yous, you know, for people that made pledges, I could barely keep up with it. It was a really frenetic pace in the studio. But I'm sitting in there, and I'm like... Starting those pains.
You start doing like the pregnancy breathing. You're like,
yeah. Yeah, the ujjayi breaths. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, I got a pang going here. I don't know if I can make it through the next talk break. Mimi, can you do a segue here? And I trotted into the bathroom in there.
Turtle head.
Destroyed. I come back in and we go for another 25 minutes. And I'm like, I'm going to have to go back in there. I'm going to have to grab and go. And I went back. So like that happened like 3 times. I'm like, oh, good God. This is the last thing I needed. I had the shits during the finale of the
Do you remember the sound? There was somebody that would destroy that bathroom. There was some Sasquatch that worked in there that would once a day destroy that bathroom where you would walk in and it was like, you had to cover your eyes and run back out.
And Andy says, no, I don't remember that at all.
No, I know it wasn't Andy because it would happen. We tried to figure out who it was, and I know it never happened when you were in the building.
I got the perfect solution for that. Set up cameras over the toilet. Then you'll know. Okay, now this is this is terrible to do a video clip during a podcast. Show you.
Okay, is this the second day?
I think this might have been... Yes, the second day and third day, maybe third day.
Okay. So this is when he's starting to contend.
Saturday, he's starting to contend. There's no running at Augusta, so there's no running from hole to hole. A security guard runs over trying to, and it's slick, trying to control the crowd after Tiger hits from the trees. And so he's trying to control the crowd here. Here we go. Now, you'll see a different angle here.
What a shot. But something happened to Tiger when he was coming out of there. Watch the slip. Here he comes.
Oh,
he was lucky. The heel was in the air. Very lucky.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
The guy who takes out Tiger Woods.
So let's describe what happened. So there was a security guard that was trying to run past Tiger after he'd hit his shot. And as Tiger was walking away, the guy slipped and fell into Tiger's
kind
ankle.
Kind of like almost sliding rolling, knee first.
Yes, almost like you'd see like a quarterback getting their ankles rolled up, or offensive lineman get their ankles rolled up, like almost doing that. Can you imagine doing that to Tiger Woods at the Masters?
That is his comeback
He's had four back surgeries. You know, and you know, he's had knee surgeries, everything.
You know what? You know who wants that to happen? The guy that was that grabbed the ball at the Cubs game. Because he's like, nobody would remember my name anymore. That's the new douchebag.
Yes, exactly. That guy was never to be seen again. So
wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That was my reference to a security guard coming and taking me out.
Now I get it. So the next thing you have to do is go to the draft, right?
Yeah,
leave and Thursday. When is it?
It's Thursday.
Yeah, next week.
Right. Yes. I'll leave Tuesday to go to Nashville.
People hearing this podcast today on Thursday, because we have it
are listening to the draft tonight.
Are listening to the draft tonight.
Yeah, and the real pivot point in the draft is Kyler Murray. Is he going to be the number one pick of the Arizona Cardinals? Or is somebody going to trade into that spot? Or somebody going to trade up and get him? I can say that in our beat writer mock draft, which is usually eerily accurate, where I sort of go and pick the best beat writer for each team and conduct a draft of my own, that runs in tomorrow's paper. And Kyler Murray does not, which is Sunday's paper, Kyler Murray does not go number one to the Arizona Cardinals, falls all the way to number 13 or 14 for Miami Dolphins.
No way.
Yeah. So
really?
Well, there are no trades allowed in this beat writer draft.
Okay. Somebody will trade somebody up. If he falls a little bit, somebody will jump up there.
Let me ask this question. This is my ignorance. But let's say, Jets have Darnold, right?
Yes.
Let's say for whatever reason, the Jets decide that they can get they get a different quarterback in free agency or whatever. They decide that they could trade him to who's picking first?
Arizona.
To Arizona. And trade to to get a different quarterback or something like that. Are you allowed to trade a player for picks?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
happens all the time.
I could be wrong. Wasn't Gruden traded for a pick?
Yes. And
they
cash.
Traded a coach.
And cash. And $10 million,
I
believe.
Yeah. I remember at that time thinking, I'm like, wait a second, you can't trade coaches for picks, but I guess you can.
The Giants have a second first-round pick because they traded Odell Beckham to Cleveland. So the Giants have two picks in the first round.
That'll be interesting.
So that'll be an interesting one. A team that needs a quarterback.
It's a team that needs a lot of things.
So, yeah. So I think we're going to see some trading at the top, a lot of defensive linemen, but I think it's a quarterback that sort of sets the tone here. And had there not been, Baker Mayfield sort of breathing new life into the Cleveland Browns, I don't know that Kyler Murray would have gotten all this traction, because here he is, Oklahoma quarterback, just like Baker Mayfield, undersized like Baker Mayfield, won the Heisman right after Baker, played,
he's playing for the A's, right?
Seventh pick of the A's.
And they offered him $14 million not to play football.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And he passed on that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
imagine coming out of college and being like, nah, I'm good. I don't need $14 million.
Right. I wish somebody would offer me a bunch of money not to do something.
Right. Yeah.
Russell
Wilson, $140 million.
There's more money in baseball. There's less injuries in baseball.
I mean, Russell Wilson's now getting $35 million a year. So
yeah,
we do see the obscene $250 million baseball contract.
Well, that and they're not smashing their head up against
a much longer
pound,
career. And they're guaranteed.
I won't have to get my knees replaced with metal sockets when I'm 29 years old.
He'll be the first player to be drafted in the first round of the baseball and football drafts.
Oh, why not? So, wow. Really? What about Bo Jackson?
Yeah, I don't believe he's the first round
or Dion?
Pick. Either of those guys
that's crazy.
Were first round baseball picks.
That makes sense.
Wow. So,
and that's no team has ever taken quarterbacks in the first round in consecutive years. Now,
The Cowboys did take Aikman and Walsh, Steve Walsh,
back to
but
back.
That was in a
same year.
That
wasn't
was in
it?
Right. That was a supplemental draft, same year. But nobody's gone back to back drafts taking a quarterback in the first round. So anyway, history will.
Well, if you're taking quarterbacks in the first round back to back years, somebody in the front office should be fired.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean, somebody from last year's team should not be on this front office anymore.
In the top 10. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Would you guys like to hear a phone call or two?
I would love.
Yep.
We got a couple in the queue.
Good. Let's do it.
Let's see here.
Wonder if we got any low energy coming at us this week.
Well, let's find out.
Low energy Mike. Did you really hear that guy? It's great.
All right, let's have a listen to this one. It won't play for some reason.
All right.
Sons of bitches.
Is Mercury still in retrograde?
Oh,
are we recording?
What's happening?
Make sure we're recording.
I hope we're recording.
So I
hit the button and nothing's happening.
All right, no phone calls this week.
Farger Burger.
And I think it might
I looked up at Mercury and I just could not tell which way it was spinning, whether it was spinning very slowly light speed.
Anybody was listening within like the last 5 minutes and you heard a big clusterfuck fall off the table. That was Andy.
That was my phone.
That was his phone, and he had it all hooked up, ready to go. And then he got excited for some reason and sent it flying across the room, and we all watched him scramble to pick it up.
How about me brilliantly playing a YouTube video on an audio podcast?
We're all bringing something special this week, aren't we? We all really are. What should we talk about while I'm trying to bring this back up? Hey, a little bit later, maybe we can go out and look at my citrus blossoms.
That's all right. So I'm going to go hunt some Easter eggs.
It's rebooting. I just can't believe you would hate. Now, there's candy that we talked about this. Those huge Easter eggs that are that candy that's like paraffin.
Oh, yeah.
A quarter inch paraffin.
You can still sell those anymore.
And Peeps. Peeps made it into my goddamn house again this year. I don't know where that came from. That's the worst.
No, the worst.
I love how you have a visceral reaction to colors. Pastels.
Yeah,
they enrage you.
I told you the story about my dad hitting a groundhog on Easter morning, right? we're going out to a small, the town that he grew up in, population 150, right? About, like 20 miles away out of
Western PA?
Yeah, well, yeah, a windy road. And my old man's driving big old Pall Mall cigarette going in his lips. My mom's sitting there in the front seat, me and my brother in the back. And we're coming around this bend. And it was just this big ass groundhog sitting in the middle of the road. And my old man, you know, he's cruising along at pretty decent speed. He doesn't want to like jerk the wheel. He's got family. So he like tries to miss it and just can't. It's too much of a wheel jerk.
Mauls it even worse.
And he just goes boom. And it just goes doo-doo-doo-doo. And I remember sitting like in my backseat, turning around and looking out the back window and seeing this black ball of fur with a tire indent in it, and it was spinning sideways down the road. And I just hear my old man go, and my brother goes, "Happy Easter, everybody!"
Jesus.
I've told that story.
Oh, my God.
Let's see if this works. Here we go.
T-shirt and pants.
Oh, yeah,
this is John from Butler.
Yeah.
Had a weird experience driving down a hill, Josh. Your dad was mowing the grass, and I was listening to your podcast. Anyway, just wanted to say hi. I also really struck by your weak gag reflex. I don't remember that. So weird.
Friend. It must be somebody.
Love the show. Thank you.
Awesome.
I love the.
You saw my dad mowing grass.
It's your friend John from Butler, PA.
Yeah.
I love the side swipe there. Don't remember your gag reflex. that's beautiful.
Hard to imagine how he would know about your gag reflex.
so weird. Don't remember that.
Beautiful.
Expertly delivered, John.
That just leaves so many questions on the table.
That was so smooth. It didn't even rile Josh.
I'm still like, I'm just like struck. I was like, I have nothing else to say.
Let's hear this one more time.
I don't want to hear it again.
T-shirt and pants.
Listen to his accent.
This is John from Butler.
John.
Had a weird experience driving down a hill, Josh.
Down the hill.
Josh, your dad was mowing the grass, and I was listening to your podcast. Anyway, just wanted to say hi. I also really struck by your weak gag reflex. I don't remember that. So weird. Anyway, love the show. Thank you.
A jerk.
That just deserves. See, now he's angry. Well played, though, by you, just to brush back.
I didn't get it at first until you brought it. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that is a slap in the face.
It's more than something. It's more than a slap in the face.
All right, play the next one.
There we go.
Hey, Yappers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. Today, Ozzy and I went mountain biking at Mount Emily Recreation Area. Ozzy is my Australian Shepherd trail dog. Ozzy wants to trade me in on somebody that rides faster. Talk to you later.
That's the absolute best. Love you, Low Energy Mike.
Amazing.
Thanks for calling. Hey, that phone number is 626-657-6428. If you have childhood memories with Josh, 626-657-6428 or Amok PM Hat. Is my family home yet?
I don't know. I don't know. How would I tell?
Why
don't you call them?
If there's a big Prius in the... if there are two Priuses in the front yard.
Prii.
No.
No. All right. I was going to have the kids come in here for Easter. Aww. So we could break the news to them. No. Just to check in with them and see what's going on.
That's another thing. Where the hell did Easter Bunny even come from? It's like, okay, I'm going to... Let's color my friend's fetuses. He's leaving eggs laying around. He doesn't even lay eggs. So he basically steals his friend's fetuses.
For poultry?
And then he's like, I'm going to put them in the backyard so these little kids can find them. Hey!
Yeah, well, it's...
I'm going to dye my fur pastel.
It's a rabbit stealing poultry eggs to hide. Yeah, it's a little weird. Did you ever read the David Sedaris book, Me Talk Pretty One Day? He has a whole thing where he moved to France with his husband, and they were there, and he was taking, you know, he was embarrassed at always being the person who, you know, the American person who never knew any, you know, French and was left out of conversation. So he was starting to take this remedial class in French, and exploring the difference in the culture. The teacher said in French, you know, who knows who comes on Easter? And you know, I put my hand up and said, the Easter Bunny. And they're like, what? Maybe we heard you wrong. Bunny? A rabbit? No. And someone said, oh, a bell. And it's like, what? A bell, a chocolate bell flies in from the East and, you know, delivers candy to all of the kids and so forth. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. No. A foreigner taking French jobs? People wouldn't appreciate that. Just the whole thing's a scream. And,
I believe more in the bell.
You're into the bell?
I'm the bell camp.
Chocolate bell?
This stupid
rabbit. What if the chocolate bell's hollow?
Well, it is hollow. It's a bell.
Make you angry?
What is? What if? If it was pastel bell, then screw it. Just keep on going, bell. Don't come looking at me.
Taco Bell? Are you a Taco Bell when you get hard up, like every now and then, a couple times a year?
No.
Yeah.
What's your pick at Taco Bell? I was just having this conversation with Laura.
I don't eat Taco Bell.
You wouldn't? You have some grab and go.
I'll do a bean burrito, pretty supreme.
I'm a Mexican pizza guy with no meat. I don't do the ground beef.
I guess I would just do nachos.
I saw the documentary where they had shit in the beef, and I can't do ground beef.
Great.
What do you eat? What's the other? What's the other place there by Love?
That's a new spin on my burrito supreme.
What's the place that's had shit in their beef like twice? Everybody talks how great it is.
Oh.
They had to like shut down their chain for a day to discuss the poop and the meat.
You're talking about Chipotle?
Yeah.
I don't think that was in the meat. Wasn't that, it was a problem with the...
It happened like twice.
E. coli in the lettuce or something?
No, I thought it was poop in the meat.
Well, E. coli is
poop in the meat.
Ha, 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 ha,
I was like, I got a guttering the bell for that. Right?
Anyway, to clarify, I was saying there was a documentary about poop and beef in general, the factory farming. I wasn't saying
that's
that,
my favorite that rap group.
I wasn't saying that any particular fast food organization had poop in their meat, because I don't want to be sued.
And it keeps our sponsorship hopes alive.
I'm still waiting for that jerky sponsorship.
Oh, a beer. Come on, people.
Nobody poops in beer. Fact.
Where can people get a hold of you, Sam?
Sam.farmer@latimes.com or @LATimesFarmer on Twitter.
And email me with beer suggestions and show topics at joshuajflieger@gmail.com.
Oh,
Andy.
Yes?
How can people reach you?
I'm so glad you asked. That's so courteous.
Thank you.
Somebody had a question on Facebook. We'll have to get the face bag going next week. But they can get a hold of me on Facebook at DJ Andy Chanley, on Instagram at Andy Chanley, or on Twitter at Andy_Chanley. Like to break it up.
Well, we good? We should gonna end it?
Oh, and happy Earth Day, everybody.
Earth Day?
Isn't it 22nd? Monday? Wasn't it a couple of days ago, I guess, when they're listening to it? You don't care.
When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end, tune into this your podcast. We're your artificial friends.
We do a better job when Sam's around.
I think it's because we like... It's real now. It's like, okay, we can't just mail it in when me and you usually do it. It's like, we got Sarah, so we have to try.
Yeah, I don't think it's that.